are wrongly. And the process of life and the whole journey of our growing as a man and a woman, we need that from friends. We need that in a corporate setting. That's why we have a church. That's why God gives us people. We can't do this on our own. Thank God for centers that you have 2, 3, 4, 5 years together, part of which the program is not for you to stop going back to those bad things. It is to uncover and discover those areas of your life that needs to be brought to the light, that needs reminding, that needs constant, you know, supervision, and someone to tell you, this cannot go on, that has to stop. You need to put a control, you need to put a lid on it, and so on and so forth. That's all wonderful. That's all required. In the day-to-day interaction and relationship that we have, I'm talking about truth as in the scripture. I'm talking about truth as in who God is. I'm not talking about those outside things. I'm not talking about general wisdom. I'm not talking about Chinese culture. I'm talking about the truth of God. That's why Jeremiah was so jealous about this. You can come with all of your false dreams and all of your false prophets and all of those words that you hear. He says, there is a difference. There is a very distinctive difference between the chaff and the wheat. And when it comes forth, he said, it is that clear. The division is that clear. If you have tasted the word of my truth, Jeremiah said, then you will know. You will know that you don't need those shafts anymore. You don't need those things. You will abandon those husks. You will need to follow those false prophets. But truth is always a painful thing. The truth of ourselves. That's why none of us has the courage nor the boldness. None of us have the ability to confront the truth of ourselves. We can't do that, James. We can't do this to ourselves and become normal. We will be insane. Some of the mental health issues in the world today has to do with that people cannot be confronted with truth. Cannot be told the truth of things. That's what I'm saying. So there's an issue of ethics. How much to tell people? Can they take it? This is one of the battles in life. How much can you tell someone? How much can I tell a woman that your wife is your husband is unfaithful? There's an affair going on. They're not sleeping together, but by all counts, by all the symptoms, it's almost as if there is an affair that is about to blossom into something that's going to be troublesome. How many women can take that and be able to react and be able to handle this? Truth, saints. I'm just talking about in the normality of things today. So do you understand why that God is involved in the long process of separating chaff from wheat in your life? Why is it it takes God a long time to tell you the truth of yourself? Because since the Lord knows the timing, He knows the state that we are in, He knows the condition we are in, He knows the mindset, He knows all of our makeup. And that's why it's so important to us to know this, that at the very foundation of Jesus appearing as the Messiah, as the Emmanuel God with us, that God had to send John the Baptist to announce this, that His coming is going to entail this reality, that He is going to be the axeman that will reach the root of our tree, of our lives, that He is going to be the unquenchable fire by the Holy Spirit and by the fire, the sacred shaft from the wheat. You understand what I'm saying? That's why He has to do that. That's why I like the fact that He is called the forerunner. He's the one to prepare the way. And that way is still yet to be prepared. It's still needing to be prepared on an ongoing basis in all of our lives. Men like me, like so many, God had raised up to tell you truth of things like this. They are truth. And the Lord is wanting the church to come into. They are truth about ourselves. And to the measure that we can be the recipient of the truth of who God is, by that measure, we can also receive the truth of ourselves. One is without the other. One cannot be apart from the other. So when you say, or when I say, I know who God is, and when I say that to you, then in the same equal measure, I must be able to say that the same God that I know, or the God that I cannot, now I can announce to you that I know Him, by that same announcement, by that same declaration, what I'm saying to one another, what I'm saying to you is, I also have a measure of a knowledge of myself. I'm now given the responsibility of having the knowledge of myself. And saints, and until we have a knowledge of ourselves, we cannot change. We cannot mature. We cannot grow. So much of the immaturity and the stunted growth in the church today is a failure in all of us to know who we are. And we just don't have the courage to confront who we are. What's in us? We just don't have the ability, the strength to unmask, to find so much that is just a put up, a fake, and phony. We just don't have this. It's not in us. It's not in our DNA. It's not in our psyche. It's not in our makeup. That's why God has to do it. That's why God has to bring to us the workings of the Holy Spirit and the very fire that comes with it. It's internal fire. But sometimes I wonder how internal fire is even allowed to be external fire. The fire of trials, the fire of crises, the fire of circumstances, the fire of things in your life. It takes you right out of control, takes you right out of your comfort zone, of your control realm. All of us have our control zone. Everything is just within what, you know, is within my control. I'm fine. And that's called survival. And to be human is to survive. So we survived. And so we survive better as we grow older because we're smarter, we're more clever, we're more technology. And so we know how to prepare everything around us so that anything happens, there's always, you know, we call it exits. You know, it's three exits in this building or how many exits. If anything happens, I know exactly when to split and when to get up as fast as I can and so that I will not be harmed or damaged. Call it exit strategy. But saints, the Lord will not. So I'm just laying some grounds here for all of us here that in the days to come I want to share that with you. Praise God. You alright, brothers? You want to stand? Thus far? It is this separating. Praise God. He's after the brain of your life. Aren't you glad? Amen. He's not crushing everything until, you know what? Wheat and chaff is all into powder. Okay? Thank God he doesn't crush us until it is all into, you know, into dust, and then you just throw it in thin air, and it's all gone. Thank God he doesn't do it. He's waiting for the bread of our lives. So the greater the separation, the faster the separation process, then the quicker it is for God to obtain the grain of our lives. And I tell you, what a place to be in when the Lord brings the grain of our lives to himself. What a joy to know what he can do with the grain. What is the grain of your life when you truly become who he really wants you to be? Not what the culture made you to be, what your family made you to be, what your surname made you to be, what university made you to be, what a country made you to be. your town where you were born, where you to be. They always say that, you know, you become where you grow up. You become the kind of people that you are by the influence of your friends and so on and so forth. We all have a fair share of that. But none of these circumstances, none of these modules has the power to turn you into the bread of life. Only God has. Amen. Let him do this. Fall into His hand, brothers. So wherever you are now, whatever the state of condition or struggles and complex you are in, those things that you can't find exit, those things that you can't find answers, and you are troubled, and you're really having a battle in your heart and in your soul with it, don't give up. Don't get angry. Don't quit. Don't climb green pastures walls. I know sometimes they lock the gate. When I go there for devotion, they lock the gate. I have to honor. Or sometimes they don't come coming early, they open the gate for me. Don't climb the gate. Don't quit kenosis. Wherever you are, in your marriage, in your families, in relationship, in places, wherever that God has put you into, don't quit. Don't run. Don't hide. Get out. Stop blaming people. Take responsibility. Come into a place and to know that God, you're after me. You're after the bread of my life. God, I'm afraid. I'm scared stiff. I don't have the guts. I don't have the courage to confront who I am, what I've been doing, and what I am as a man or a woman before you. But God, help me. Help me. Thank you for me to know that at the very foundation, the basis of your salvation, you saved me so that you could winnow me and separate me and take the chaff out of the grain of my life. You were the grain of my life. No one can harvest the grain of my life. My father and my mother, my school, my university, my graduate degrees can't help that. Can't do that for me. God, you can. I tried. I tried drugs. I tried sex. It didn't come out good. It didn't turn out to be the bread of life. I'm in a mess. I'm more in the complex than I'm crazy. Take me. Shape this within me. And I promise you, children, I promise you, the days to come, I'll walk through this with you. Alright? I want to walk through this with you. I have some diagrams I want to show to you. I have some beautiful pictures. Thank God it's not drawing. Computer does all the job for me. I want to put it up there. I want to show this to you. Beautiful pictures. You want to come, you don't even understand anything I see. Just come and see the pictures. The beautiful words, beautiful pictures. They're from the scriptures. They're there all the time. It took me 43 years to understand what God is after. Alright. I've been trying to make bread from my own. It usually don't turn out well. It's either too hard or too soft. Don't try to make your own bread. It looks like something else. Alright, it cannot be eaten. It'll cause indigestion. It'll cause people around you to constipate. Let the Lord be the bread maker. Let Him be the one to make you. But it's going to be something in which you need to understand. It's not an easy thing. It is a process. It is a whole dynamics of the Holy Spirit and the workings of redemption and the reality of what God does in you. If you only understand, someone came up to me and said in India, he said, "Brother, this Christian life is so difficult." I said, "No, it's not difficult." He came up in tears. The sister said, "This Christian life is so difficult." I said, "No, it's not difficult. It's impossible." Who say Christian life is difficult? It's not difficult. It's impossible. Why is it so impossible? Because you can't take the chaff out of the grain. God has to do it, but you have to know what He's after. You've got to know by His word what He's after. You've got to know the ways of the Lord. His ways is in the sea. His footprint is in the very depths of the sea. You've got to find it. You've got to be patient. There's a whole process of discipline, a waiting, of stripping. Saints, for the Lord to come to you. And as you yield to Him, as truth begins to become pervasive and begin to build you, the change comes, the transformation comes, the form, the brave formation comes. Beautiful, isn't it, saints? I know that I don't make bread, some of you do. It's beautiful when it's all done, it's all labeled into a huge, beautiful lump. When you open up the oven, just the smell of it, to know the bread is ready. It's wonderful, isn't it? And it's the same with our lives. Stand, please. Lord, thank you for such a time, for these dear brothers and sisters that you have brought together. We are privileged at a time like this, in the seasons of our lives. Lord, bring forth the bread of life. There's only one bread of which all of us are part of. It's called the bread of the Son of God. Jesus, you are the bread of the Father. Oh, we're so thankful that we're called upon to partake that bread. And so partaking that bread, our lives are so bound up with you that we ourselves can also have a measure of that bread turned within us. And eat and that which we eat and consume within us in the end soon make us to be what we eat. And that we are too, will become bread of life to one another. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that you didn't come just to take us to heaven. You came on this earth so that you might turn our lives into the very image of Jesus Christ and form us into a wholeness, into a complete human that looks exactly like your own Son. Thank you for the genius of your work, for the marvel of your redemption. So Lord, we are here and we say that God, bring to us, bring to these meetings, to this assembly, and lives and men and women, wherever you would take them and draw them and bring them together for the very purpose, this purpose of which, Lord, we are here, you have called this ministry into. So for this, we are thankful. Seal this word in all of our hearts. Encourage our hearts here, wherever we are, at whatever stage or stages of our growth or problems and complex that we are in. My God, you are so wonderful. You have a heart bigger than all of us. You're patient. You wait on us. We're not there yet. We're not complete yet. We're not finished yet. But we're in this whole winnowing process. Take all of us here. Thank you for focusing your heart on us and being the God of truth to each one of us here. So as we make discovery more and more, as the light of God dawns into our life, cause us to obey you and give you practical obedience. Submit to you moment by moment. Thank you, and we bless you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.